access number 30649, Mr. Ted Hill, Reel 11. Now, we're talking about various people on the ship. Now, you mentioned it was a happy ship, the Belfast. What made it a happy ship then?
The people on it made it a happy ship. And they went to extremes to make it a happy ship, to make, you know, to be a... Some of them, sure, probably manufactured a character of themselves. Like, I remember old Geordie Kelly, who was quite an intelligent bloke, but he acted the buffoon. You know, Boris Johnson, the mayoral candidate, always reminds me of Kelly, because I think he's the same. He acts a bit silly, and he's not. And Kelly was the same. I mean, I also remember Kelly was involved in a court martial, and this made him famous on the ship, Kelly, because when we were in Singapore in terror, we used to come off the ship, shower, and go back up to the barracks. And one of the stokers got a dockyard matey in the shower, a Malayan dockyard matey in the shower with him, and there was all the stokers looking over the top, and the master at arms walked past. Now, he's the chief, he's the most senior man on the lower deck and chief of police, and he saw this all the, and he went in and saw what was going on, or something was trying to go on, and he grabbed one of the blokes as a witness, and it he was probably sorry forever that he did it, but it was Kelly that he grabbed.
And what rank was Kelly?
He was stoker mechanic.
And what was his first name?
I don't know. He was known as Geordie Kelly. And at the court martial, Kelly was questioned by the prosecution. And, it, you know, he went through the routine. You were watching over the top of this shower, this stoker mechanic. Another Geordie actually had got this dockyard matey in there, in the shower.
Was this some sort of homosexual going on?
Yeah. And he said, this prosecutor said to Kelly, under questioning, was this man in a state of erection? And old Kelly said, no, sir, he was sitting down. And they thought he was taking a mickey. So they charged Kelly, and old Kelly got 14 days cells for being a witness. Yeah, he was a hero in the ship, old Kelly. I mean, there's people like me still talk about it. I mean, I've had lots of people over the years since we formed this association, and I've met loads of old friends. Do you remember Kelly and the court martial? You know. So he became an instant character, but he was anyway, old Kelly.
Was there much homosexuality on the ship, as far as you were concerned, or was that a more isolated incident?
Well, it was there. I mean, there was two or three known homosexuals, and the Navy used to have raids now and again within the ship, and they would get, if they were caught, and it was very difficult to catch them in the act, so to speak, because, you know, they used to say in the Navy, if it's in, you can't see it, and if it's out, it's not in. So it's very difficult. But when they did catch them, they were usually dishonorary discharged from the Navy. And that used to happen about three or four times, I can remember, on the Belfast. They had raids. Because they were known, you know. But it's...
It doesn't seem to have bothered the rest of you much. I mean,
no.
It was going on.
No.
It's not anything you worried about.
No. I mean, if you were approached, you'd say, not interested, mate. Off you go, and that'd be it. They wouldn't dare try and pursue anybody.
Now, anything else you remember? Any other characters or events?
Yeah. Oh, Lieutenant... E. Scrimgeour, S-C-R-I-M G-E-O-R. We used to call him Scrimmager. He was a Scotsman. He came on board as a sub-lieutenant, got his engine room ticket, and he was made lieutenant. Lieutenant E, engineer. And he played the bagpipes. And he used to practice down one of the diesel rooms, which was about the most isolated place on the ship. But coming in and out of harbour, old Strawberry seemed to like these bagpipes. He would stand on top of a gun turret, which was like the front one on the ship. And my friend McMurdo, who was a stoker mechanic, he actually came on the ship with me as a junior stoker. He was one of the six. He was a drummer in the Sea Cadets. And he used to borrow a kettle drum off the marine band. And they would play us in and out of harbour. And old Scrimmager had the full Scottish kit. And McMurdo, he was a Scotsman, but they used to find bits and pieces for him. They didn't have a full Scottish outfit. But they used to play us in and out of harbour, which went down a treat, really, with a lot of people. And I'm still in contact with both of them. Well, Scrimmager's a member of the association who lives... He lives up near Glasgow, but he comes down once a year for the AGM and all that, which is great that, you know, 56 years later, he's still mingling with the same people.
Who else, then? Anyone else that comes to mind as a character?
No, Peter Fender, who I was going to recommend to you, that he's a good talker, and he remembers a lot.
What rank was he?
Stoker mechanic.
Now, what was he like?
He was always joking around. Whatever was going on, he could get a laugh out of it. I remember these were the days when we used to have inoculations all the time. You know, if we were going somewhere different, you all had to be inoculated for yellow fever or sleeping sickness or something like that. There was no jabs as there are these days. You can have one jab that covers a multitude of things. We used to have them every so often, and they were done by departments. We all had to go down the sick bay and queue up. An old Fender went in one day. And when we came out, someone said, "What's it like in there, Fender?" And he said, "God blimey," he said, "it's terrible the way they're doing it today." He said, they're standing you up against the bulkhead, which is the wall. A sick bay tiffy's chucking a dart in your arm, and another one connects it up, and another one's got a stirrup pump, and a bloke fainted. One of the stokers fainted. That old Kelly's Fender's description of this. But he would be a good one if he hasn't been interviewed.
Okay. Anyone else you want to talk about? We'll come to others later, perhaps. We've done a few of them. So what's the next thing you remember happening then? Yeah, you'd already got back out there, you know, with a new crew. And back onto bombardments, I presume.
Well, yeah.
Controls.
Yeah, well, I mean, all that we've said this morning
comes after that, yeah, I guess that
is during this time, yeah.
Across the whole period up to the 52, yeah.
I mean, up until the times when I was being made acting LSM and dipping it.
That's
and
all
such
on the
like.
Second commission.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when we came home.
So anything more before you came home then? Do you see what I mean?
I don't remember anything that stands out. I probably will when you've gone. But I mean, we came home. We were relieved in Korea. We were on patrol, and I think it was September 52. No, August.
And who relieved you?
I can. It was HMS Birmingham relieved us from the station, but we were on patrol at the time, and it was HMS Newcastle that relieved us on patrol, which was another cruiser. Yeah, the middle of August, from the west coast of Korea, we left for Hong Kong.
And how did you feel to be out of it? I mean, I presume you weren't that worried about being sunk, you know, the rest
well,
of
no,
it.
Were I
you
mean,
pleased to be out of action? Coming out.
Yeah, it was good to be coming home, because I'd been out there for 3 years with a very short break back in England.
Just a week, you said.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'd grown up from barely 17, and I was 20 when I came home, so... You know, it was a long period of my early years. And it was good. We went down to Hong Kong. And I think it was in Hong Kong we were issued with the Korean War medals. Like the British.
Was that important to you, the medal?
Well, not really. But it was something you got for being there. I mean, we were in the front line all the time. We had to do 28 days at sea off the Korean coast to qualify for the medals.
You've done a lot more than that, though, haven't you?
Oh, yeah, blimey. Whereas soldiers qualify by one day on shore. You might say they're more in the firing line, but the one day in... ashore could be in the port where they landed and they got the medals. But we got the British Korean medal and the United Nations medal for Korea. And we also got a Korean War gratuity. Now, it's got it on here somewhere. I think it was... £28.10 I got.
Which is quite a decent sum of money then.
That was a lot of money for us. Blimey. I mean, at the time I was probably on, I don't know, I was a leading hand or acting leading hand. I was probably getting about £2 a week, £2.10 a week. So £28.50 was 2 or 3 months' money. Which... In Hong Kong, we went ashore and bought all the rabbits, presents that we needed to, brought them back on the ship, and then went ashore for a monumental booze up. You know, big eats and booze. Then we left for home. Well, we went down to Singapore, and they didn't hurry coming home because we didn't get home until the 4th of November. We came into Chatham Dockyard.
Anything else about the trip? Or was it just...
Yeah, I'd met one of my brothers in Sasebo. He came out on the Theseus. He was a telegraphist. He was my eldest brother. He was a telegraphist. He came on board... And I was on duty, so he borrowed 10 bob or something. I never saw him again till I came out of the Navy. And coming home, we stopped at Aden for fuel. And the representative of the oil company came out to the ship. And he was a stoker mechanic from the first commission that I'd known 2 years previously. Old Ken England from Guernsey. Then we carried on through the Suez Canal and through the Mediterranean. We stopped at Malta. We stopped at Gibraltar, where my other brother in the Fleet Air Arm came on the ship. and we went ashore. I was off duty for him, and we went ashore that evening with the lads and did the sights of and the bars of Gibraltar, which he knew them all very well because he was stationed on the Fleet Air Arm Station there. And then back up to cold old England.
So you got back to, where did you come back into?
Chatham.
You came back to your home port. And when was that? Was that January, you said?
No, November.
November, sorry.
November the 4th, 1952.
So you've been coming back almost 3 months.
Yeah, it's a long time. Well, normally it would take
6 weeks, I think.
5 to 6 weeks. But we stopped at Hong Kong. I can't remember how long we was there, but it must have been a week or so. And then to Singapore, because the admiral that we carried was the flag officer second in command. He was a rear admiral. He was based at Hong Kong, was his headquarters, HMS Tamar. The CNC was based in Singapore, was his headquarters. So we visited both places, you know, for the captain to say goodbye to them all, I suppose. I've got a feeling we stopped at Colombo as well. Yeah, I think we did stop at Colombo in Ceylon.
Now, what happened when you got? What's the ceremony on paying? Was it, the ship was paying off, wasn't it, at Chatham?
Yeah,
it was paying off. Ceremony?
Yeah. Well, it didn't affect us. All it did, it flew a paying off pennant from the aftermast, and it was a certain length, depending how long you'd been away, was the length of the paying off pennant. You know, and I think it was something like, I don't know, a foot for every month or something like that. So, no, it was longer than 24 feet. It might have been a yard for every month or something, because I know it's a great long thing, which the Belfast Association recently celebrated the 70th birthday of the ship. And an editor, so-called, printed our newsletter, a commemoration edition. And there was a picture in there of the Belfast coming into dock. And he'd captioned it that it was going into Belfast on the way to the Far East in 1948 to pick up the Silver Bell. Well, it was actually the picture of us coming into Chatham Dockyard flying the paying off pennant, and neither the editor nor the proofreader had noticed that the ship was flying a paying off pennant. But that was it. An old Strawberry was on the dockside with his very pregnant young wife to meet us in November 1952. And it was about the time of the floods on Canvey, because I was home when that happened. Oh no, that was 53, wasn't it? The floods in Canvey.
How did you feel about leaving the ship?
Well,
you knew you were going this time. I mean, you had no chance of staying aboard again, was there?
We didn't have any choice. I mean, me and my mates decided that it would be a good number to stay on the ship as retired party. When the whole ship's company went on leave, they have a retired party on board. So as soon as we docked that day, the retired party were all...
Retired.
Yeah. Staying back party. They sent us that day on leave for a week. So we had our week's leave, came back to the ship. Most of the ship's company had gone on leave, and they'd held some back for a week until we came back. And we came back and we were like shipkeepers, just looking after a very skeleton crew, you know. Because we were alongside the dock and we were getting electricity, water, heat, everything. from the dockside, so there was no watch keeping for us. Just duties, keeping a check on things.
Now, why had you wanted that job?
Well, because it was a very easy routine, and we worked 24 about. You're on duty for 24 hours, then you're off for 24 hours, and we were all off up to London. Because in those days, the travel was very cheap for servicemen. I think it was, we only paid one third of the rail fare anywhere we went, unless we were going on leave, and then it was free travel. And it was just a good number. And it was made better by things like all the ship's company, when they went on long leave, they had to pack all the kit. All the lockers had to be emptied because they could have been broken into and the kit would disappear. So they all had to pack the kit in the kit bags, and they were all put in a compartment somewhere and locked up. So we're left. One of the jobs we got when we got back, one of the first jobs, the first day, the chief stoker, who was retired party, also said, right, go down the locker flat and clear it up. He said, them blokes have made it, left a hell of a mess down there. He said, clear out the lockers. There's nothing in there. So we went down, and everywhere we went, there was Hong Kong and Singapore coins, and someone measured them, and the 10-cent pieces for Hong Kong and Singapore were the same size as a sixpence exactly, and the 20-pence pieces were the same size as a shilling. So we collected all of them, we dumped all the others, but the tens and 20 pence pieces we kept. And we had half a shoebox full of these 20 pence pieces and 10 cent pieces. And when we used to come up to London, we used to have a pocket full of these at all our underground fares, because there was all machines in those days, rows of machines with the stations marked on you. You just put sixpence or a shilling in. Chocolate machines were starting to appear and all. We used them all. God.
Now, how did you feel? How long did it last being a retired crew?
Until the ship's company came back off of leave. You know, they went, I think they had about 2 months leave. So we were on there sort of November, December, and they came back, and we went on our long leave, the retired party.
What was it like getting home again? Well, you'd been home briefly, but I mean.
Well, it was great to get home and see your family, and your mates had all gone. They all had girlfriends, or they were married, and so they wasn't going on the town or anything. But there was plenty of other people. I mean, if you wore your uniform or bit of your uniform, you made lots of friends. But there were things to do in those days. There was dances every Saturday nights in the towns, and there were cinemas everywhere, clubs. You know, the British Legion was going and all that, where you were welcomed in without being a member, if you were serving in the forces. So there was lots to do. But your mates, most of them had gone. No. Some of them had joined the forces and were still in.
So what happened next then? I mean, you have your long leave.
I had my long leave. I had, because I'd been out there for 3 years, I had 3 months leave, which took me up to Easter. And coming up to Easter, I had a letter from the ship with another leave pass for another 2 weeks leave for Easter leave. So I had another 2 weeks, and they sent money. And So I was home for another 2 weeks.
That's till April. Yeah. Deep into it, yeah.
Now, in the meantime, the ship had paid off. I mean, the act of paying off was just flying this paying off pennant. There was no ceremony or anything. It was just the end of the commission. And all the same blokes stayed on the ship. I mean, some of them disappeared. They'd finished the time and all that, but they were replaced because the ship, while I was on leave, was moved down from Sheerness, where we took it, during the retired party bit. It was towed down to Sheerness. And we, in the meantime, while I was on long leave, the ship had steamed down to Devonport, the other end of the country as far as we're concerned, because we were a Chatham ship. And I had to go back to Devonport. And I went back on board, you know, 3.5 months. And they all thought I'd left the ship, you know. But my kit had been, I had to pack my kit and it was locked away. And we spent the next, well, until October, putting it in reserve, the Belfast, preserving everything.
Now, what do you mean? What do you actually do?
Well, all the guns are cleaned and greased and cocooned. You know, they put like a fiberglass cocoon over it, sealed to the deck, and silica gel inside to absorb any moisture that may or may not get in. With the engine room, we had to preserve everything, but we didn't have to seal it. We just had to, you know, drain oils that might go off, and the boilers were cleaned, and then did we fill them with water? Because a way of preserving the inside of the boilers when they're not being used is to pump them up completely full of water, and it's pure distilled water, so it stops corrosion. But I think putting it in reserve, we emptied the boilers and cleaned them and put stuff inside, like silica gel, to absorb any moisture so there'd be no corrosion or anything. Everything had to be stripped and painted. Everything, decks and all. I mean, the decks were done right at the end. And towards the end of putting it in reserve, we moved into Drake Barracks,